So, hello everybody,
Okay.
and welcome to Webinar Wednesday from Sight and Sound Technology. My name is Stuart Lawler, and this week, my colleague Sharon Lyons from Sight and Sound Technology Ireland is joining us in place of Carol Brealey, who's taking a well-deserved week off. Sharon,
Hi,
welcome to the
everyone.
webinar. Great to have you.
Thanks, Stuart.
So today is a charity special with the Iona Resource Centre here in Dublin. In fact, I probably should have gone to the Iona Resource Centre to do this webinar with the guys because I'm not too far from them where I am here at home. I probably could have walked to them in 35 minutes and done my daily exercise and got my step count up. Why didn't we think about that? But there you go. You're very welcome. And we're going to be hearing all about the Iona Resource Centre in a second. They are a specialist service doing all sorts of great things for people with sight loss. We'll hear all about that in just a moment. Before we do that, though, if you'd like to engage with us today on the Zoom meeting platform, and we really hope you will, you can do so by raising your hand by pressing Alt and Y on Windows, Command and Y on the Mac, or if you're using a mobile application, you can activate the raise hand button. That's usually found inside the More Options element of your mobile phone app. Now, if you'd like to chat during the session today, you can do so by pressing Alt and H on your computer, on a PC, Command and H on Windows, or on a mobile app, you can activate the chat button. And if you are chatting, make sure you send your message to all participants and attendees, not just the panel, because it's good that everybody gets to see the messages. Sharon will be keeping a close eye on the raised hands, and we will go to get plenty of Q&A as we go through the session. I know that Maggie and James are really looking forward to answering all your questions and talking to you. Christine, we see your raised hand, and we'll come to you in a little while. So let me introduce Maggie Richardson and James Flanagan from the Iona Resource Centre in Dublin. And I had the pleasure of meeting Maggie and James at the end of July, and we had a really interesting conversation. And one thing that I picked up from those guys was their energy and passion for the work they're doing for people with sight loss. And I asked Maggie and James would they like to come on a webinar, and without any hesitation, they said they'd love to. So we're delighted to have them here. Maggie, I'm going to start with you if you don't mind, and I'd love to just get a sense, if you wouldn't mind telling us, what is the Iona Resource Centre? What do you guys do?
Hi, Stuart. Yes, the Iona Resource Centre, we're a specialised service for people with sight loss and a vision impairment, and we're based in Drumcondra in North Dublin. And we offer a varied approach to day services, and we have three core strands to our service that we hope caters for everybody's needs and what they would like to learn and develop skills-wise. So the core strands include skills for stability. So this is a program that's designed to support individuals maybe around social communication skills. But everybody has an individualized program, and it's an opportunity to maintain and learn new skills. We offer individuals skills for life. So this could be where their individuals are wanting to learn new skills to progress. So they can choose from specialized sessions that we offer, and they can design their own bespoke program to enable skills development and progression towards their own individual goals. And we also offer the flexibility of skills for me. So if individuals would like to just say dip in and dip out of aspects of our program that fits around their own needs and their lifestyle, whether they're in employment or education, it just enables people to say pick and choose aspects of our program. So aspects of the program that we have on offer for individuals, so that can be around, say, health and well-being. So if participants would like to undertake, say, Zumba or access gym classes and learn about health and well-being and mindfulness, we offer technology sessions, so for people to learn new aspects of inclusive technology, touch typing. So whatever anybody is wanting to learn and develop and maintain skills, we can offer that. And we have creative side, so it could be arts and crafts or pottery. And so we have a wide variety of program on offer for people. After service is fully compliant with the HSE New Directions policy. So New Directions recommends that a program is person-centered, focuses on community inclusion, active citizenship, and delivers a quality service that respects the individual as a person and helps them to manage risk and challenge the individual. And so we're fully compliant in regards to that aspect of the HSE.
Apologies, my audio was muted for some strange reason. There you go. You see, this is a live show. Thank you very much, Maggie. So really, you guys have a very flexible service provision, and I suppose very much on the person's terms, and you mentioned the different strands there. Can we maybe go back 12 months to maybe this time last year? What did your service look like before we had this onset of COVID? And obviously it's very different now, and we'll talk about that in a while, but what would it have looked like 12 months ago in terms of the kind of experience somebody might have had?
Well, we're a very lively and busy service, and so we can have up to 24 individuals on site per day. And we would have people coming in and out of the centre, maybe going on our minibus out into the community, accessing pottery. We would have had people busy and active down in the gym. And we're very much about individuals connecting in. And so IT and computer suite would have been very busy. We have a beauty room as well, because feeling good about yourself is very important. And as a service, we focus very much in on the soft skills, so around people's confidence, their self-esteem. And what we very much want is when anyone enters into the service, by the time they're leaving with a smile on their face, they're happy, they've connected in with their friends, and they feel good about themselves. And so it would have been very busy, lots of people in, and if individuals are wanting, then requiring a bit of support around something maybe that's going on in their personal life, connected with their home or different things like that, they would be maybe having a one-to-one with their key worker as well. So the situation that we're in now, unfortunately, with COVID is very different. And James reminded me there today that this time last year we would have just finished our Shapeshifters event, which was a fantastic event that we've been sort of like 9 months, 12 months in the planning for. And we had planned to hold this event this year, but obviously, sadly, COVID has put a stop to that. But I know James will be talking about Shapeshifters a bit later on, but unfortunate, but it's hopefully on the cards for next year, fingers crossed, if we're through COVID.
I'm loving the whole Shapeshifter sound. I'm dying to hear more about that in a while. So let's look at, 11th, 12th, 13th of March, when really overnight we all were locked down, everyone was working from home. But for the people who you provide a service to, that vital service really had to change very quickly, and it wasn't going to be the same for them, wasn't it? How did that process work? And I imagine it was something that was very strange for you all.
Yes, yeah, it was. And I'm very lucky that I have such an amazing staff team here, because as soon as we started hearing and about sort of like the first case within Ireland, we were all sort of like talking and saying, well, whatever happens, we've got to continue to support, our service users. And so we always had sort of like in mind that we needed to have a bit of a plan that we were going to move towards. And so one of the things we as a staff team come up and decided, well, actually, okay, we're not allowed to have due to the restriction service users on site. So that's when we sort of like pivoted straight away and said, well, what can we do? And so we currently support over 111 service users. So we ensured that the key workers will maintain contact, and that we would undertake weekly welfare calls to everybody. And if we know individuals are, say, struggling more, then we will connect in with them more regular. And we offered a Meals on Wheels service, because obviously some of our, we support individuals from the age of, currently it's 27 up to 94, and some individuals do have very complex health needs, mobility-wise, not able to actually get outside of their home. And so obviously the restrictions impacted greatly on them. And so we offered a Meals on Wheels service. We would deliver specialist resources to individuals. We thought, well, people just sat at home, that isn't positive for people's mental health. So we created some creative craft activity bags, whereby we would deliver resources to individuals. And then further along the line, we recognised that actually that there's more that we can do. And so we created a virtual timetable. And so we've utilised Zoom, and we offer 20 hours per week of a varied timetable. And so on the timetable, we have sessions such as Pilates, quiz, seated chair exercise, mindfulness, stitch and bitch, which is a very popular session, and poetry and songs and spoken word and play. So it's very varied. So we're hoping that we offer something there for, you know, all of our service users. But it was definitely a challenge. But like I said, with the amazing staff team and passionate individuals that I have here, it has been working successfully.
I was looking at some stuff on your social media around the sort of second, third week of COVID. And some of the, I was really taken by the Meals on Wheels thing, the fact that your staff were coming in, making meals for people and getting them out to them. What were service users saying? Because that must have been just that little bit of contact, that human contact with a nice meal must have been amazing.
Oh, definitely. And we were running, our COVID-19 service was on a limited staff team as well, because obviously being a charity, it impacted greatly on our charity as a whole. And so unfortunately we had to temporarily lay off staff. And so we've been running the aspect of the service with, I think it was four of us actually coming in. And I have to, you know, and I will admit that my staff team could have actually got paid more being on the COVID-19 payment from the government. But that just shows that I'm very fortunate to have a staff team who really do have a heart and genuinely care about the people that we support. And I think that's what our service does have. It has a strong heart. And our service users were so thankful for it. And we're very lucky to have fantastic an organisation who actually do provide our transport service. And so connecting in and working in partnership with them, they delivered our Meals on Wheels service. And for some of our service users, this was the only human contact that they actually had, was our driver knocking at the door, delivering the meal. Some individuals were in their 70s, and unfortunately their family were isolating, having COVID tests, and so they had nobody to actually provide that support. And so I think that's what kept us going as a staff team, was knowing that what we were doing was so vital, and that without us actually providing this, there would be people without a meal and without human contact. And so that's why we kept going, because we knew the importance of what we were doing.
Absolutely. How has it been? I guess we're starting, although I really hate the phrase, coming into this new normal. I'm sick of hearing new normal, but we're coming into a different type of normal, let's say. And I know your service has resumed to some degree in terms of face-to-face. How has that been working out?
Yes, it's been very successful. We've actually been one of the first day services to reopen. I know that other service providers have got challenges in regards to the way they delivered things, but we have worked tirelessly as a team to implement all the required safety measures. So at the moment, we can only have six individuals in a day, but it has been invaluable to them, to be able to connect back with their friends, to be engaging in different activities and, you know, continuing with learning their skills. We have noticed, you know, a deterioration, sadly, in some individuals, particularly around their mobility, their emotional well-being as well. So it just highlights how vitally important it is for people to actually be able to connect in with others. I mean, one in 10 people in Ireland can feel isolated, but obviously that is drastically increased for people with sight loss, and so we do recognize the importance of the human aspect of our service. Unfortunately at the moment, with, you know, we are, it's day by day looking at the figures that come through as to whether or not we can look at increasing how many individuals we have on site. But at the moment, you know, we're maintaining what we do safely, and we'll do for the foreseeable, but we're always open to being able to change aspects of our service as, you know, as required, really.
Okay, Maggie, thanks for giving us that really, really comprehensive look at what you guys are doing. And we're going to come back to you, I know, and we're going to come back to James as well in a sec, because we want to hear all about the fitness programs and how we can, and I've very much, by the way, flagging myself here, how we can all keep a little more fit. But before we do that, just before we go to Sharon, there's a couple of hands raised. I forgot to flag for you all next week's session, next Wednesday afternoon on Webinar Wednesday. We're going to do a bit of Google goodness with Sharon Lyons, and we're going to be looking at Gmail and Google Drive and Google Calendar, and just how accessible are these services for users of screen reading and screen magnification technology. So that's coming up next Wednesday, and you will receive information on that session if you're on the Webinar Wednesday email list, as you will also receive a follow-up to this session. So Sharon, if you don't mind, we might pop over to you, see how the raised hands are going, and see if we might take one or two short comments at this stage. Please keep your comments brief, because we've a lot to get through with Maggie and James. We want to get as much feedback as we can, but if you keep your comments brief, it'll give everybody a chance to speak. So Sharon.
Okay, yep. We have Christine here has had her hand up there. So I'm just going to allow you to talk there, Christine, so you can.
Yeah, and there's some lovely messages coming in on chat, by the way, from Roisin Lenihan, who we know well. Roisin, keep up the amazing work. And Kerry Doyle, who's saying it's fantastic that this service is available. I think it's great that people are sort of hearing about this, and it's getting people thinking. So. Christine, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Yep. Are you there, Christine? Oh.
You may just need to press the little pop-up that comes up to tell you to unmute yourself, and then we'll be able to hear your question.
Unmute. Can you hear me?
There we can go. Hear you, Christine. How are you?
I pressed the right button. Thank goodness I'm not Mr. Trump.
Okay. Right. What's your question?
I've all been dire straits. I'm interested to find out how people can get to this centre, the funding situation, the rates charged per individual, and if certain people on benefits, you know, do they get a discount, etc. And also, when I get my exercise video DVD ready for vision impaired and blind people, could I send it to the Iona Centre if they could be interested?
That's okay, it. Christine, thank you for your question. We're gonna pass that back to Maggie and James in a sec. We will come back on all that. I think it was another hand or two raised there, Sharon.
Yes, Kerry Doyle, who put a lovely comment in the chat. So good, you're doing all these things. Lifeline for lots of people, no doubt. And she has a question. So Kerry,
a newbie to Webinar Wednesday. Newbie. Webinar Wednesday newbie, yeah. So welcome, Kerry.
So if you just go ahead there, Kerry.
By the way, nice chat from Helen, who says it'd be lovely if we had a service like this in Glasgow. Maggie, you might have to do some kind of a franchise. Franchise service for Iona, and give us a few quid when you do it, you know. It's going to be great, honestly. Oh. Kerry, good afternoon.
Hi, Kerry. Yeah, how are you doing? I was just kind of interested in how do people actually say for example for myself, like I'd be a service user of the charity, and how do people get involved, and also like what are the different, I know you mentioned the three different strands and stuff, but like maybe just a short example of like what each strand might, because I know you mentioned some of them, but the other strands examples of what they might include, like just different, maybe some of the different skills from some of the different bits, that kind of stuff.
So you're talking about the skills for life and skills for success, and
yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kerry. So, Maggie, do you want to maybe take that, and then I might just go back to Christine's question as well, which is more about funding, and of course the answer in some respects to Christine's question is that the model of funding here in Ireland, where we're all based today, is very different to the model of funding in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Kerry, in response to your question there, so we have the three core strands, and skills for stability is very much about maintenance while still learning new skills. So typically, some of my service users may be in the over 65 category and may have, say, additional mobility difficulties. And so the program, so James, whilst he does a lot of our fitness in regards to being our fitness coordinator, individuals on our skills for stability might not be, say, suitable for exercise, or he would adapt it to it actually being seated and seated chair. And we have a social discourse session where we may get speakers in from the local community in regards to history and say the local guard are coming in and talking about safety within the home. Our skills for life could be individuals who maybe since have acquired sight loss and may have been employed previously. It may be, say, traumatic sight loss, and they may have lost their confidence and need some work on some of the soft skills side. But they may be wanting to go into employment but aren't quite yet ready. And so we can do work around learning new IT and AT skills. And really look at getting supported work experience first before going back into employment. And the skills for me could be somebody who is, say, working and they're employed, but they don't maybe want to go to their local gym. They may want to actually come in and have a one-to-one personal training session with James in the gym to work on certain key aspects. Or it could be that they're wanting to come into our technology session to learn about some accessibility options on a computer and different things. So that's more of a flexible program.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then in terms of how you actually get kind of involved with it, how do people, I hate this phrase, link in, I hate that phrase, but how do people, I hate that phrase, but it makes me sound like Tim Cook or something, but
The details is on our website ncbi.ie, or individuals can contact us via our social media pages. So the Iona Resource Centre is on Twitter and on Facebook, but they can just email me directly or give me us a call on there. So our contact details are on there, but people can self refer to our service, and you know, we do take.
So is there Iona has a Facebook page as well? I didn't know that.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's cool. All right.
So what I'll do is, for anyone who attended this session, you'll get the webinar Wednesday follow-up email probably on Friday, and we'll put in the contact details for the Iona Centre on that email.
All right.
So anyone who needs to get in touch with Maggie or James can do that.
Yeah.
So thanks, Kerry, for your question. That's absolutely super. Maggie, just in terms of Christine's question, I suppose it's important to say from a service user's perspective, there is no charge, it is not.
No. And in because having come from the UK, and I understand the funding system over there, so obviously it's very much personalised funding in the UK, and the money actually follows the individual when they're accessing services. Over here in Ireland, it's not quite like that at the moment, and so we are block funded by the HSC. And as with any service anywhere in the world, we could always do with some more funding. But the system is in the future we'll be moving over to an individualised, personalised budget. So as a service, NCBI is looking at that aspect, and so it would be similar to say Vision Australia and services in the UK, whereby every aspect of the service is costed, and it gives choice to the individual as to which service they access and how much they're actually paying for that service. Additionally, Christine, we'd most definitely be interested in your fitness video. So if you are able to send us a copy, that would be fantastic.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Maggie. And yeah, Christine, please send your fitness video on, and I'm sure the guys would be delighted to have it. Just before we go to James, Sharon, any more raised hands we want to look at right now?
No, that's it for now.
Okay,
great,
good.
Thanks.
Everyone's happy. Right. So, James, thank you too for joining us. Great to have you.
Thanks,
and indeed, actually, James and I got chatting middle of July, I think. James, you made contact with me and we were talking about what you guys were doing. And I suppose I was kind of inspired because of all the great things going on at the Iona Center. So James, tell us first of all about your role and sort of the programs that you run, which is all around that crucial bit around recreation, sports, leisure, that piece, which is so important.
Yeah, so I'm the fitness and recreation coordinator here at the center. And so my role would have kind of different aspects. The main aspects would be your fitness and health in the center and for those coming in daily. So before, pre-COVID, we would have had, you know, 3 gym sessions a week or a day, sorry, that they'd come in. So we'd be down in the gym doing different classes. Some of them would just be regular gym classes. Others would be Pilates or Boxercise or Zumba. And we try to, you know, adapt as much as we can and change it up our kind of timetable. And on with that, then we would look at individual plans like Maggie was talking. So if someone needs some support, I suppose, in key aspects of their fitness and mobility coordination, we would do one-to-one sessions with these individuals to work up their key strengths and stuff like that. And then also then we're kind of into the recreational side of things. And so we look at trying to link in with the community as much as possible. And we're in a great place in terms of where we're based. We have so many fantastic organizations and different things that go on around us. So it's really, really important to get out there and be with them. And we bring the guys out to as many, you know, museums and events as possible during the year. And then we also then look at kind of our connected communities. So being in the community, we really look to say we want to get out there, we want to get involved in our community as much as possible. Because working together, it's way more, it's so, so powerful. So what we do is our initiative called is Connected Communities. And one of them programs that we do is Shapeshifters. And what Shapeshifters really was, it was a fitness program that we started last year. It was a fitness program, but there was so much more to that. So what it wanted to do was we had 15 individuals from our service. And what they did was they were split into 3 teams of 5. And then we had 3 local businesses come on as a sponsor. And they also gave a member of staff to be a captain. And they would donate their time and train with their team for the 8 weeks. And we based our training out of a fitness center in Cabra. So it was wanted to get out of our center and wanted to get straight into the community as well. And so what they did was they worked on kind of key elements of fitness, you know, strength, agility, speed, endurance. But it was so much more than that, because what you want to do is to motivate and propel everyone to achieve feats that they didn't know was possible. And we really feel that really did happen, you know. It also gave the sponsors and the team captains a huge insight into, you know, the awareness of for people with a vision impairment, you know what I mean? And to get an understanding of how their everyday lives go and to work together. And, you know, it changed the kind of perception of someone's beliefs. So we had an example for Padder. He's the owner of Small Changes Whole Food Store in Drumcondra. Padder was the team captain last year, and when Padder met his team, invited us down to visit his shop, and we had lunch with him before the event, our finals day event. And Padder ended up changing the shop layout because it was more accessible for people with a vision impairment. And that's just the small little things of how important it is to engage in the community. And so we had a big finals day after the 8 weeks of training, and everyone trained really, really hard. They took it so seriously, and it was a sense of, like, you know, it was a competitive thing as well. And I think that's something important as well to drive people. You know, it's great to have involvement, but we want to be competitive and we want to challenge ourselves and try and do things that we thought we might never have done. And it was fantastic. We had over 100 people attend our finals day, which was based in a GA club in Coolock, if anyone's aware, in Dublin. And it was, again, getting into the community. It was a fantastic day out. And then, obviously, we planned to go for bigger and better this year. We put in a lot of work and a lot of big ideas. We're going with it. But unfortunately, now with COVID, it has given a... put it on the sideline for this year. But we will come back next year with it, with bigger and better. things.
I've no doubt you will. And listen, we'll put it on the record here. Sign up Sight and Sound Technology next week or next year, and we'll get involved with you guys.
Oh,
great idea. Okay,
hey, hang on.
We're going to, Sharon and I are going to do that next year.
Really?
Just signed us up, Sharon. So I suppose one of the things, James, that springs to mind straight away is, okay, you've been doing all this great stuff. You guys down the gym, working up a sweat, and then COVID arrives and everyone's at home. How do you transfer that into stuff people can do at home, I suppose safely as well, with you at a virtual space?
Yeah, look, it's very, very hard for people to keep looking after their health and well-being, because it's so much more than just the fitness side of things. It's your mental health and how that affects over time. And when you're going through a challenging time, you know, to do a small bit of fitness can have huge benefits for you. So immediately when we knew of us shutting down, what we did is we created an 8-week fitness program that went live on YouTube, and it was called Exercise for Everyone, and it's live on the NCBI YouTube page. And what that is, it has we had 3 sessions a week, went out on Monday, Wednesday and a Friday, and it had different levels. So it went from a level 1, someone who was probably sedentary, not moving, or over 65, I wouldn't be that active, to level 5, which would be someone who would be really, really active, could be, you know, competitive or a Paralympian. And then we also catered for kids. And the difference, I suppose, with our Exercise for Everyone was all audio described. It's all accessible for someone who's visually impaired. I did the videos that described every exercise that we did, and it was a build-up. So we built our exercises from, you know, week 1 all the way up to week 8, where we were really flying it by week 8 with every level. And that was just something that we sent out straight away to the guys. But like the struggles for trying to stay active, it's so difficult. And I know there's been quite an overload of things that went online at the very start, and making sure that things are accessible for people who are visually impaired is another thing. And I, you know, to have that comfort of knowing that someone will understand your needs in the sessions as well is a key thing. And I think that's important for anybody that does fitness. You need to have someone that will make you feel comfortable and to make you understand you, you know, because you can give them all these exercises you want, but you need to understand the individual to make them really enjoy themselves. And I think that's a really important thing. I don't know if people are aware, but Vision Sport Ireland, which are the national governing body for sport for people who are visually impaired, they've under the NCBI now. And what the Vision Sport did was they came out with a new program, and it was called Passport. And that enabled people who were blind or visually impaired to return to sport in our phase 3 that we went through, in that roadmap that the government came out with. And what that does is it registered Vision Sport members and their guides or pilots from outside of their household to travel and to and from a sport or leisure facility together and to participate in exercise together, which included running, swimming, and some VI tennis and tandem bike riding. So that was a really, really good thing that Vision Sport came together with. And we know how hard it is for people. And so Vision Sport as well, they were very good in terms that they did a survey during COVID to get a feedback and see, you know, how has these things affected us, and to give you a figure of how much it has affected people who the general population with Sport Ireland. They only got 11% of the general population and said that they recorded low levels of sedentary behaviour. So meaning they've really, you know, really dropped down on their exercise or not doing any exercise at all. And then when Vision Sport did a survey for visually impaired, like 75% of people who are visually impaired responded and said they were unable to meet the, you know, the recommendation guidelines. So like not even able to do half an hour a day of exercise, be it a walk or, you know, whatever. And so that's staggering, like, and it's how we can adapt them things for anyone who's visually impaired or for anyone in general to try and stay active. You know, I think there was a huge push online and on social media of all these different things. And that can sometimes be a hindrance to someone as well, because then you're feeling even worse if you're not being active, you know, because it's nearly an overload of these people saying they're going for, I know I was getting a bit frustrated when I seen all these people running 5Ks. They were doing them in like 16 minutes, and they were thinking we would have had a great Olympic team if we had these guys before COVID, but you know, so it that was kind of bothering me, and you know, all these different things of that can affect as well, and that comes down to your well-being and how important it is, especially during these times, and everyone dips in and out of good and low moods, you know, and the importance of being active, even if it is to get out for a walk, to get some fresh air, or if it's to do a class that's online. And we recognize that, you know, and we're trying to cater for everyone. And when we went to do our online virtual timetable, so that was after we did our 8-week program for our fitness program, we ended up really focusing on having fitness nearly every day. It was different levels of capabilities. So like for one day we did Pilates, a nice start to a Monday. We went to do a seated chair exercise, and we really had some seniors involved in that. Then we went to, you know, having some box exercise. That was quite energetic. But we also had people who you'd never think would do these things joining online and doing it. So like we had people who were fit and ready, you know, in their mid-40s doing the exercise. But we also had, you know, 94-year-olds doing the box exercise class and giving it absolute welling, you know. And it's being able to adapt your sessions for it. And it's down to, you know, having the session lead to have that understanding, like we were saying, understanding the individuals and being able to just adapt it to them. And then we looked at mindfulness as well. Like, I think it's a huge, powerful tool to have. And we introduced mindfulness into our virtual timetable. And it's been a really, really successful thing that we've done and delivered. And really, you know, it's given our guys a chance to, you know, think a little differently about certain things if they're stressed out. And it's a safe space. And we've created that safe space over Zoom. And it's really good. And we're going to keep that on when we have it back in our normal timetable, because it's been such a powerful tool where so many have got a lot out of it, you know. And it's a really important thing. I think people can get too caught up sometimes on, you know, personal training or weight loss, but you know, your mental health is so vital for everything to click in together, and to have that understanding and to have people accept and be willing to kind of take part in it, that's a really, really good thing. So yeah, we've looked at our mindfulness side of things as well.
And James, for people who want to do exercise maybe at home, we're just trying to keep a little bit of fitness going, because it's still quite difficult for some people to get out and about and to go far. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have a load of fancy equipment in your house, Sheila.
Not at all. No, not at all. No, I the way I do it, I'm completely opposite. I would like to just do bodyweight stuff, because, you know, when you talk about fancy equipment and stuff, you're bringing into side of, you know, your what you can afford and things, and that's hindering people's involvement then in physical activity straight away. So you look at body weight exercises and things, you know, and all our exercises that are online, and we'll link them to everyone afterwards that are on the YouTube pages, they're all body weight. I think one time we use equipment is when we get some cans of beans to do some exercises, and they're simple as that. Using equipment or stuff that you have in the house, it could be a simple thing of, you know, doing 10 minutes of an exercise thing where you'd set a plan out and say, right, I'm going to do, you know, 30 jumping jacks. I'm going to jog on the spot for a minute. And we'll look at some of these things later on in our surprise exercise session. And they're really, really simple things to just incorporate into your day. And to take that even 10 minutes, like, it's a huge benefit. You do 10 minutes of full intense, you know, give yourself everything and give it, you know, do a good bit in them 10 minutes. Like, the benefits of them for everything at home is hugely beneficial. And like, yeah, if we can't get outside the house, what do we look at? It's all bodyweight exercises, Stuart, like, and for everyone. Like, it's bodyweight exercises, and there's so many different ways of doing them things. You can grab ideas from the YouTube pages or the YouTube videos that we have, and then you can do whatever suits you as well, you know?
Okay, and we're going to have a little bit of, as you said, a surprise exercise very shortly. So everybody limber up there, because we're coming to that soon. But maybe we'll just go back to Sharon to see if we've any raised hands or chat questions that we might want to address before we do that. So Sharon.
Okay, so there's a question from Helen Hahn. And this is Helen, who would like the franchise in Glasgow. Are any of the online fitness classes available to anyone else, as well as people who are a part of the centre? So I guess YouTube You mentioned the YouTube.
Yeah, the YouTube ones would be available for anyone. Yeah. Our online classes then will just be for our service users online.
So maybe we can put that in, Stuart. Yeah,
so we'll once the email that goes out, we'll have the link to the YouTube as well, so people can try out the exercise or have a look at what James and the guys have created, definitely.
Okay, and we also have, we have a long chat here. I'll get back to that. We have another question from Kerry. If Kerry would like to ask her question there.
Yeah. So you might just
I did the right thing there.
Hey, sorry.
Yeah, hi, Kerry.
Sorry for all the questions and I'll try and keep it short.
That's great.
It's just to say, first of all, to say to James, if it's okay, and without being weird, your attitude seems really refreshing, and it's nice to see somebody who is just like, yeah, you can't see, and what, and let's help you, and that's really nice. It's nice to see that. And also just to ask if Iona as a centre, because I know it wouldn't be as formal as NCBI, kind of, if they have any sort of plans to adopt kind of a My Guide service. Maybe you don't know what My Guide is. It's something that guide dogs in the UK would run, where they would pair people up with guides, and maybe even from an exercise point of view, you know, because people can't get out, and so that people can get out for a walk or a run or whatever, or if there is any kind of facility like that that people can tap into.
Yeah.
Hi, Kerry. Yes, we have, in conjunction with Vision to Sport now forming part of NCBI, we have actually been trialing something during COVID. So during COVID, we actually undertook a pilot within Dublin of socially distanced long cane exercise. And that was
very good.
With some volunteers from Park Run, and so they had undertaken some training around Site Guide, and then trialing the long cane physical distance exercise, and then it has been successful. And so that is something that we will look at doing, sort of like wider around Ireland, and obviously moving forward post COVID, we wouldn't then necessarily need the long cane and the physical distancing, but it has been hugely positive. And myself and a team member here, we actually supported some of our service users who we could tell the mental health impact of being so isolated was having on them, and it was immense. And so it's not the aspect around the actual exercise, whether or not you're walking, jogging.
It's got nothing to do with that. It's just about getting out and stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
New people, meeting new friends, being out in the fresh air, and it's been really, really positive. And so it is definitely something that we, you know, in conjunction with Vision Sport and the volunteers, we would look at expanding, definitely.
Yeah.
Very much, Kerry. I have to say that I personally tried this out. I've met Maggie on a couple of Saturday mornings in St. Anne's Park a couple of weeks ago, and it's a great experience. And I think exactly as you say, it's meeting people, it's going, in my case, brisk walking, I want to stress, but it's a great experience, and it's great that people are getting out and having the opportunity to just do a little bit of, I suppose, free walking with a long cane with somebody else on the end of the cane. And definitely it's a great thing. So I encourage anybody who is who's thinking about that, it might be worth trying. Sharon, any more raised hands or chat messages you want to address?
So we have a great chat message from Christine here, just saying it's great to encourage people to compete effectively and assertively. So important to do daily exercise, weight-bearing exercise for the 40-plus to keep the bones strong and muscles moving, especially because we may not be able to get out. What else? She also suggests, she would like a similar service in the UK. and also she suggests just putting your favourite music on and dance and going for it, but warm up first and cool down after. And use your earphones so you keep your music quiet for your neighbours.
I have to say, Christine, one of my favourite sessions that James does here is our dance fit and the variety of music that he actually puts on. And so they have some aspects of the session whereby he'll be audio describing some moves to actually do, but the freestyle and the variety of music that he puts on is absolutely brilliant. I mean, he had a group of our service users dancing around to Kanye West Gold Digger, and it was fantastic.
Brilliant.
Yeah, okay. That's right down my street, I have to say.
We all need to go up to the Iona Resource Centre for a video.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And okay, I think that's brilliant. It. And Helen just says thank you as well for the
thank
YouTube.
Thank you, Christine. Yeah. And thank you, Helen. And thank you to Kerry as well. It's great to get your questions. And just to remind everybody, if you want to ask any questions, you can raise your hand with Alt and Y, Command and Y, or activate your raise hand button if you're using a mobile phone app. And similarly with the chat, it's Alt and H on Windows, Command and H on the Mac, or activate the chat button on your mobile phone app. And a quick reminder again that next week on a webinar Wednesday, we're going to have some Google goodness with Sharon, and we're going to be talking all about some of the Google services, which are of course very widely available, but just how accessible are they and how can they work? If you use Google or you're interested to find out more, then join us next Wednesday. So James, we did ask you when we were planning this session, we said, would you be able to run a little bit of live, because we've never done this before on our webinar Wednesday session, would you be able to run a little bit of live exercise for us? And you very kindly agreed to do so. So would you like to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's only gonna be 5 minutes of a session, guys. And this is for, those who are sitting in a chair, you can stand up. You don't have to be, you can be at any level, this doesn't matter at all. We're just gonna go for have a bit of crack with it, all right? And there's a little challenge at the end, which is quite difficult. I find it quite difficult, so we'll see how we go, all right? So what the first thing is we're gonna do is, for those that would like to stand up, please do stand up. For those who are sitting down, you're all good sitting down, okay? And for the next 30 seconds, all right, I want us to jog on the spot or march on the spot for those sitting in a chair for as quick as you can for 30 seconds, all right? And I will tell you when to go, and we will we'll go with it. So 2 seconds, I get the timer going. So in three...
I'm just going to mute my microphone so I'm not jogging all over the speaker, everyone's speakers. So yes, okay.
All right, so in 3, 2, 1, I want us to start marching or jogging on the spot as quick as we can, all right? So these are things that we can do at home, all right? Really simple things. And even these 5 exercises that we do today, you can do them 3 times or repeat them 3 times. And that's a 10-minute session done, or a 15-minute session done straight away. So you're gone 20 seconds up already, so keep going. Well done. So nearly there, keep going. You've got a... 5 seconds left, so good. Giving it everything for the last couple of seconds. 2, 1, well done. All right, catch your breath for a second. The next thing, what we're going to do is we're going to do that again. All right, so we're going to go again. So normally take, if you're doing this, guys, take about 10 to 20 seconds, catch your breath and go again. All right, so we're going to go again. This time I want you to try and go even quicker. All right, if you're sitting in a chair, really get your knees up nice and high. If you're standing up, go jogging on the spot as quick as you can, or nearly sprinting on the spot, all right? So 3, 2, 1, off you go. So again, we're trying to increase it every time we do it, guys. So even if you're tired at home, you're feeling unmotivated or not feeling it today, these little easy things are really good to just get out of that kind of mood or whatever, because we have good days and bad days, everyone does. So to try and just get on with it, you know. So you're doing good. You've got 20 seconds done. Keep going. 5 seconds left. 4, 3, 2, 1. Well done. Good stuff. All right. So that's a good job. Catch your breath. Always good to put your hands behind your head. Open up your lungs. Breathe into your nose and out your mouth nice and slow to catch your breath. All right. That just really opens up your lungs and takes in more oxygen. All right. The next thing what I want us to do is, for those that are standing up, I want you to try and leg kick, all right? So what a leg kick is, you're kicking your leg up as high as you can, all right, one at a time, okay? For those that are sitting in a chair, I want you to be flicking your kicks, all right? So try and sit yourself back in the chair with your back right against the chair, your arms at the front of the chair, and I want you to just flick your kicks out in front. Try not to drop them at all. For those that are standing up, I want you to try and kick up as high as you can, all right? And we're going to start now in 5 seconds, all right? So 3, 2, One, off you go. Now just really single leg kicks as high as you can for those standing up. For those sitting down, if you're just really flick kicking the whole time. And these are little adapting things as well. So we're working on all our body as we're doing it. We're doing legs and cardio, do arms in a minute. So just keep going, good stuff. Really good work, guys. Well done. You've got 3 seconds left. 2, 1. And again, catch your breath and stop. Well done. Hands behind your head. All right. And we will get going again in a second. So for those that are standing up, if you want to try and kick and then have your hand out in front, so you're meeting your kick with your hand, all right? So you're really stretching your hamstring. All right, for those that are sitting down, this time I want to put your hands out in front with your palms facing down the ground and kick with your back against the chair, kick with your feet and try not to touch the ground if you can, all right? Is that okay for everyone? I hope you can understand. And for the guys standing up, yeah, single leg kicks and take it nice and easy with them, really stretch your hamstrings. For the guys sitting down, it's a bit more intense. So we're gonna go now again for 3, 2, 1, off you go with your kicks. So like just making sure you could do this in your bedroom, your sitting room, your kitchen, whatever, you know, grab a little glass of water beside you and you can fly ahead with it, you know, it's really, really easy to do. That's really, really good, guys. So keep going with it now. And you've got a 3, 2, 1. Well done. All right, so catch your breath again. Really cool if you want to just put on some music, you know, and listen to it. Somebody said earlier to put your earphones in, blast it up. That's really, really good. Christine said, you know, put your headphones in, getting your away from everything. You might be having a bad day. For these 10 minutes that you do a bit of an exercise, it's really, really good. It just takes away from it. When we were down in the gym, when I was studying in college, we did a study in terms of having the impact on louder and quicker music on performance in sport. And it's a proven fact that you do actually perform up to about 5% more with louder music and heavier kind of beats to it. So if you're into big, heavy beats, blast your music and go with it. The next thing we're going to do, so we've got 2 more things left. Going to get you to do some boxing this time. And we do boxercise in class in our virtual timetable and in the center. And it's really, really, really good. We're really flying with it. And, you know, to incorporate some cardio with the strength of boxing. And also release, if you're having a bad day, not to punch someone, but actually just to punch in the air is really, really good. So what we're going to do, all right, for those that are standing up, we're just going to straight punch. So you're going left and right each time, up with your shoulder height, and the same for those sitting on the sitting in the chairs, all right, for seated. Okay, we're going to go for 30 seconds, and I want you to go as quick as you can for them 30 seconds, all right? So we're going to go in 3, 2, 1, off you go. So, yeah, just making sure you have enough space to be punching, make sure nobody walks in front. And just be throwing your punches as quick as you can and as much strength into your punch as you can go. Again, this is another exercise you can do at home. No equipment needed. Nice and easy. And like if we repeat these a couple of times, it's really, really good. All right, so good stuff. You're coming up to 5 seconds left. 4, 3, 2, 1. Well done. Good work. Catch your breath again. And like I was saying about just increasing it, guys, each time. So if you're finding, okay, I'm really, you know, this isn't challenging me anymore, what would I try? So to incorporate different variations of it. So for our straight punches for our boxing, we're going to do it next. What I want you to do is I want you to jog on the spot for those standing up and punching as well at the same time. And for those that are seated, I want you to march and punch at the same time. So it's just little variations that make a big difference in our exercise at home. And there's no equipment needed at all. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to try that now. So for the guys standing up, you're going to be jogging on the spot and punching as quick as you can for 30 seconds. And for those that are seated, marching and punching as quick as you can. All right, so 3, 2, 1, off you go. So this is a good workout. It's only taken, what are we only, you know, 5-6 minutes into it. And it's, I hope that you're enjoying it. there's simple things that you can do, and they're little variations that you'll see on our videos online as well. So really, really good stuff. Keep it going. Keep punching as much as you can. So it's all about how hard you can push yourself, all right? So it's 3, 2, 1. Well done. Good stuff. Good job. All right. So catch your breaths again. Hands behind your head. Breathe in through your nose and blow out through your mouth. And just keep doing nice, slow breaths. Calm your breathing down again. Especially if you haven't been doing too much and this is quite high intense. Just to take that time to listen to your body to say, all right, I really need to, you know, start again because I'm behind. Look, just take your time, listen to your body. That's the most important thing. Doing the exercise as is the most beneficial thing anyways. So as you're catching your breath, we're going to do a challenge next, all right? And it's a 2-minute challenge, and I find this one quite hard as well, especially after doing a bit of boxing. So what we're going to do is we're going to stand or sit and put our arms out at shoulder height, either side of us, stretched out with our palms facing towards the ground, all right? And you're gonna hold them out there, okay? And I'm gonna tell you to go, so please don't say it, and I'm gonna tell you to start. And after a couple of seconds, I might tell you to start rotating your wrists, still in that same position with your arms, your wrists around in your circle, in a circle. Maggie's gonna do this as well now. For us as well. So Maggie is going to, you might, here, give it out to me, but Maggie's going to do this as well. So your arms are out wide, stretched out with your hands up, okay? We're going to get going in 3 seconds, all right? So, or hands down, sorry, palms towards the ground. What you're going to do is you might be rotating your wrists around a circle, or I might say make bigger circles with your full arm, all right? But just follow my instructions. We're going to go for 2 minutes, okay? So, are you ready to put your hands out, arms stretched out and palms towards the ground? All right, this is a mind over matter test, all right? 3, 2, 1, off you go. So just holding them out.
And I think James needs to do this one as well.
No worries, I was keeping an eye on the time. So we're just holding them out at the start. This is one where I find pure silence works, but for this exercise, I am going to talk for this one, but it's all about concentration and singing maybe a song in your head. So you're keeping your arms stretched out the whole time, okay? And slowly now we're going to start rotating our wrists around the circle. And you're going to make a circle about the size of a cup or the bottom of a cup. You're just going to rotate your wrists around nice and slow. Keep going. Really good. And we're going to stop that now and we're going to keep them out. We're just going to hold still. Holding them out. And I want you to do now is to start making bigger circles with your arms, all right? So making circles probably the size of a plate with your arms. Big circles. With your arms. You might start feeling a small bit of pain now. That's okay. Keep going with it. All right. And stop, hold them out. And keep holding them out now. Your hand getting sore, Maggie?
Yes.
Keep going, guys. There's not long left. Keep going. Keep holding them out. Keep holding them out. Okay. We've got 10 seconds. So you're nearly there. All right. 3, 2, 1, and drop. Well done. Good stuff. That's a little challenge for the end. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that little exercise. They're little things that you can do at home. Doesn't need any equipment. You don't need much room at all. It only takes a couple of minutes, but even just getting that little bit or repeating these things a couple of times. I wouldn't repeat the arm challenge a couple of times. Your arms might feel like they're going to fall off. So I wouldn't repeat the arm challenge, but the different bits of exercise that you do, jumping jacks, you could do some skipping, you know, without the rope and things like that. They're really good. Ladder climbs, all these different exercises are on the YouTube sessions, and there's no equipment at all, just a small bit of space and away you go. So I hope you enjoyed that session, guys. Well done.
And I think like Christine said, it is good to put on some lively, upbeat music. And I know James said in regards to it, sort of like having a good beat and rhythm to it works really well.
I'm certainly feeling muscles I never knew I had. So and
my step count sorted for.
I certainly found the holding my arms out was, yeah, it was really getting pain there towards the end, but it was brilliant. Thanks so much, James. And I think what you've done really is, and you've kind of answered a question I had for quite a while, which was how can I do just little things at home every day that can, and I guess I can kind of scale it up a little bit as I go along, but for those of us who are maybe a little conscious of the fact that we're out and about a little bit less, you know, at the moment, how we can do that. Now, I see we've a couple of raised hands, so we might go back to Sharon, see if there's anyone who's still with us after the exercise and they'd like to ask any questions.
Well, hopefully everyone's okay. yeah, just some thank yous there. Yep. Yeah. And
we have a message from Julie, who's a regular Webinar Wednesday attendee, who says, that was such fun. Let's do it again. James. So I think that's fantastic. Just if anyone wants to ask a last question or two, we have another few minutes left. You can press Alt and Y on Windows, Command and Y on the Mac, or activate the raise hand button on your mobile app of choice. And similarly with chat, it's Alt and H, Command and H, or you can press the chat button if you want to send us a message. Just while we're just allowing for another minute or two for hands, Maggie, in so much as you can answer this, and I know it's a kind of a very difficult question, but what are the plans for the next few weeks, and how has that kind of gradual reopening been going for you?
Well, for the next few weeks, we are trying to still plan ahead for, obviously, say, post-COVID, and, you know, the resumption of our new service. When we're through the other side of it, and with obviously day to day we're looking at the numbers, unfortunately, and it does feel quite morbid when you're literally waiting for the figures to come on the news at 5:30, but to see whether or not we can increase the number of service users that we have coming in. But one thing that we started last year, and we have thankfully been able to maintain thanks to James's connection with Bohemians, has been our Access for All programme. And so Access for All is an idea that James come up with in regards to providing audio description commentary at sporting events. And we started with Bohemians Football Club because it's very close to our service that we have here, and we're very much about connecting in with our local community. They were very much on board with it, and so we undertook a pilot last year with James providing audio description commentary at the game, and then myself and another team member provided the sighted guide support, and it worked fantastically well. So individuals who maybe hadn't attended a sporting event since losing their sight, or didn't necessarily have the confidence to actually access a sport, were connecting up with other friends and attending the event. And we thought, wow, this is really working. How could we look at expanding it? And so James and I put together a program whereby we can train volunteers from other sporting clubs, and we stayed within the sphere of football to start with, and it worked successfully. So we trained five volunteers at Shamrock Rovers, one at
Shelburne. We've a club from Shelburne that have been trained. We've got extra from Bohemians have been trained up, extra volunteers as well, and we've made contact then with some other clubs as well around the Dublin region, and what we'd hope is to grow it further. We got some great publicity with it last year. We were on nationwide with the initiative with Bohemians, and it's grown now where other clubs have started to really be interested in it. It's a great talk, and it's a great thing to open up a conversation about accessibility and inclusivity in sporting organisations in Ireland, and it's a really exciting thing for us to be involved in, I suppose, as well, and to be able to advocate and to have the involvement of people who feel like they couldn't go to sporting events before. And let's hear your voice now and really get you involved in it again. And we want to give that opportunity to everyone.
and the training that we sort of like deliver, it has the volunteers who have come forward are very impassioned about it and are learning about accessibility and are wanting to take it further themselves. And so it leaves a legacy for those volunteers to support the club in accessibility for sports and events. And our plan for the future would be to develop into other spheres of sport as well. So potentially sort of like rugby, there's a potential with the GAA as well. But obviously COVID has kind of put a stop for us being able to do the face-to-face training at the moment, but that would be something that we would want to develop further. But in the interim, James is providing a live radio stream. So
look, we know there's no fans allowed to attend games in Ireland, in the League of Ireland, and in all sporting events in Ireland. So, like, we had built something really, really strong last year and built into this season. And I don't know if any of you are aware, but the League of Ireland only started in February, so there was only like 3 games, and then it was postponed. So it came back in late July, and we've been talking about this for a while about, all right, we want to still have our involvement in this because it was so powerful. And we thought of, well, if we could, what about creating an online radio station? And this online radio station would provide an audio described commentary of the sport and events. And like, you know, that would just, it's an accessible link to click on. And you listen to me commentating. Now, I'm a bit biased because I am a Bose fan, but that's the beauty of the commentary. I suppose you can hear a fan's voice, and it's for every club. And what we say in our training is that you are a fan, and the fans that would be listening to you are also fans of the club as well. And you have to portray that passion for them, because you're giving them what's happening really on the pitch. And to feel, you know, you really need, and you can be 100% biased as well. That's really, you know, an important part of it. I don't know. I know it's a thing in England, you know, where audio described commentary is available in a lot of the big clubs in England, and it's fantastic. And it's, and not even just the big clubs, but nearly all clubs in England, and it's in other sports, and it's an absolutely fantastic thing. It actually wasn't ever available in Ireland, and so we were the first to ever do this for any sport, and run with this. And you know, that's a really, really powerful thing for us to have as well, is to keep going with this. And we hope with the online, sessions that, or the online radio stations that, you know, that can, for people that might not have their club, or they might not have a club that is doing this already, that you could really chat to your club about it, or get in touch with us and say, well, I want this at our club. And we would be happy to touch base with that club and to advocate for you and have your involvement in having this available in Ireland. And look, we know that social distancing and things might be in place for next year, so it's again another thing of keeping the involvement of the online radio station, having a look at it, because there's only a couple of games left in the season, and to see, you know, is this something that we can bring to other clubs next year, because, you know, for social distancing reasons and to make be accessible, this is going to be this unfortunately I don't think would be an issue for stadiums for a while. So to have this available and to look into it further would definitely be something we're looking at. We've also, for those that might be aware, like, so we've linked with ourselves with Cafe and Football. Cafe Football is the centre for accessibility for football in Europe, and they represent fans with a disability. And they're a very, very powerful organisation within Europe. And it's a great link to us to have, and for those, you know, to have a look at their stuff. They're all about inclusivity, but also accessibility in stadiums and the standards. And we'd be in regular contact with them in relation to what can we advise and to promote for our volunteers that are trained and do the training, because basically what Maggie was saying, you know, about encouraging them to continue with their club, what we're really looking at is to have people that could be nearly disability liaison officers for their club, and to advocate and to provide programs and to have things available for people with a disability inside stadiums. It's not something that's too it's something that we're definitely behind in Ireland compared to the UK and in Europe, and it's something to build on. And sure, if there's no better place to do it than, or for no people better to do it than ourselves to start it if we're passionate about it, which we certainly are. So if anyone does like to get in contact or have more information about this, Maggie is just going to drop it in the comments there to send us an email about it. So our email about this is access4all@ncbi.ie. Maggie's just going to drop it in the comment box there as well. So that's just about our Access for All initiative that will hopefully grow as well. And we would love a rave, Christine. It's been one of them days.
Okay, so fantastic. Access for All, for the number four, all at ncbi.ie is the email address people can contact. Now, James, some really wonderful stuff going on there. And I know you guys are so passionate and so excited about what you do, and quite rightly. So I'm just conscious, I think there are a few hands raised. So we go back to Sharon in case there are some questions.
Yes, there are some people queuing up here. I actually saw that that article on Nationwide, absolutely brilliant, with the Bohemians. Okay, so we have Nicola Dixon.
Oh, regular Sorry. Webinar Wednesday attendee.
There we go.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can indeed. How are you?
Hello. I really enjoyed the exercise session. Thank you very much. The point I want to make is I've been schooling our 10-year-old son who's sighted, and I went on and was looking for some sort of exercise program that we could all do. And all of them, even the sort of famous ones like Joe Wicks, you know, who's done some fantastic stuff, a lot of it is so visual. You know, you had to be able to see the video, and my poor son was trying to tell me what to do, and then by the time he'd done it, then they'd moved on to the next thing. So that was a shame, but you know, now I've found this, this is going to be really helpful, because normally I do attend our local gym, but obviously that's not been able to happen. And also we had some fun because we did a kind of a sports day at the end of term, and I have a newly qualified guide dog. We qualified just before lockdown. He's only two, very enthusiastic, and he decided to join in. So that was interesting.
Good stuff. Thank you. Yeah, is there anything else?
Thank you. That was all I had to say.
Thank you, Nicola.
That's great, Nicola. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely, Nicola. It's something that we recognise here, and I think we can all recognise here today, is that the audio description thing is such a vital part of being inclusive, and you'd hope that we can promote this more and more. And it becomes having then conversations with, you know, our local instructors, our local gyms, our local personal trainers that are putting videos online. It's having them conversations, and don't be afraid to give them, put them in touch with, you know, it's the NCBI in Ireland, or, you know,
or
an IB in the UK, and, you know, just to have that conversation, because I can genuinely tell you, as working in the fitness organization, the more information that the trainers and the owners of gyms and whatever would have, the better. They would love that, you know, and they would love to be, it is, but it's about having that first discussion. It's to get that discussion with them, and, you know, for them to know, okay, well, actually, yeah, I would love to be able to do this. I would love to have that information. I would love to be able to showcase this. And it worked like that when we approached clubs and things. Mm. Clubs would love to be able to do these things, but they didn't have the knowledge. And it's to be able to say, well, look, I can pass you on to someone with the knowledge, and you can really grow this further. So definitely, Nicola, if you know, if it's something, definitely hope you enjoy the videos that we do. And for your local gym or for anything like that, even tell Joe Wicks that he needs to start describing the videos more. Sure, why not? He might do the message and do it. But it's definitely having that first conversation with gym instructors and fitness instructors is a really key thing. And it's definitely a key thing for people attending their local gyms for the first time, having that comfortable, knowing that comfort that they are aware of people who are visually impaired and how to describe these things, and, you know, just that comfort for the session, for the person giving the session, but also for the person who is visually impaired themselves as well.
Thanks very much, James, and thank you, Nicola, for your question. Just before we go back to Sharon, I want to also remind people that our Webinar Wednesday survey is still running. Those of you who are on our mailing list would have got an email about it last week. We'd love to know what you think about Webinar Wednesday. And as we move into, I guess, a little more normal way of life, we may be changing the way Webinar Wednesday runs and indeed the time of the session or the regularity of the session. So please complete the survey if you can. And if you need a link to the survey, please get in touch with us and we'll happily provide it. Sharon, have we anyone else?
Yes, we have, am I muted? No, okay, yes, we have Derek Child. Here we go, Derek. If I set you up, you can talk there now just and ask your question.
Yourself, Derek.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, we can hear you, Derek.
Hiya, Derek.
Oh, he just went off again. It wasn't me.
You might just need to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I might just need to unmute again, Derek, there.
Just tap the unmute button. It might have inadvertently gone off.
Yeah, sometimes I kind of do it twice and I end up unmuting and then immediately muting myself again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, Derek.
Yeah. First of all, thanks, Stuart, for organising us these Wednesday webinars, and to Maggie and James. I'm just recovering from that bit of exercise, but I was very impressed with the initiative, the owner initiative. I'm a former long-term trustee at RNIB, so I'm very interested in new models of service provision. And I just wondered what NCVI do in the rest of Ireland. You know, I know Dublin's one particular location, but do you have similar programs elsewhere?
Hi, Derek. We are a national organisation, and throughout the country we have service running. So we have what we call community resource workers, and community resource workers are individuals who can undertake functional vision assessments, assessment of specialist equipment for the home, undertake ILS, so independent living skills, and O&M, so orientation and mobility training. And we're currently in the process of, we have a national training centre based in Dublin, and we're currently looking at whether that's a model that can actually be rolled out throughout Ireland. And we are conscious that a lot of services are Dublin based, and so we do have a resource centre similar to the Iona resource centre down in Wexford, but again we are, you know, recognising that there is a need for further expansion and services around the country as a whole. Obviously our online platforms are something whereby nationally individuals can use those, and our training centre, we do have a lot of people from around the country actually are able to actually travel down to access that. But as I said, it is part of our operational plan in regards to the need for services similar to the Iona Resource Centre to be national, and it could be that they are sort of like hub services as well. Because obviously with isolation and loneliness, sometimes the more rural you are, you've got the difficulty around transport links and such like. So that is definitely something that we're looking at, Derek.
Thanks very much, Maggie, and thanks for your question, Derek. And great plans, of course, from NCBI to kind of broaden that service out as well and into other parts of Ireland, which is fantastic to see. Do we have any other raised hands, Sharon?
We have one more. Maybe do we have time for one more question?
Yeah, let's have one more question then.
Great. So it's Marion Maloney. So I'll set you up there to ask your question. Go ahead, Marion.
You might need to unmute yourself, Marion. You just get a little pop-up. So you just need to tap that and you should be on the air.
Yeah.
And just while we're waiting for Marion, remind people that we're talking about Google next week. Although we're going to have an exercise.
Can you hear me now?
Hi, Marion.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi, Stuart. Thank you so much for the opportunity to get in. I don't know what's wrong with my phone today, but my voiceover isn't very loud. I must have it in the background or something. But I was glad to hear there the lady from the Iona Centre clarifying that it is Dublin-based, unfortunately. We don't have... I live in Galway, and we're very isolated in the west of Ireland that we don't have any of the lovely activities that you have going in Dublin. But it's great to hear about the new initiatives there with James and the Access for All, because I would be involved in the VI tennis and tandem cycling. So it's great to hear there's new things happening. So that you know, you'll be able to extend these things around the country, especially with the opportunity now of the online facilities, that maybe you can include more people, you know, participating maybe even in the things that are going on in the Iona Centre that we could link in by Zoom or something, you know.
No, that's definitely something that I have been in discussion with my manager about. And also, you know, Zoom is such a powerful platform, and it is fantastic that it does enable people to clip in. But I do also think the need for, you know, there is a need for hub services as well, because when we are through COVID, I don't think there's anything more powerful than actually having that face-to-face and human contact, and being able to actually sit down with people and connect in, and the possibility of developing you know, friendships, and having hubs enables that connection. And it also provides sort of like a base that you can run services from, but then it's a service that, you know, people may dip in and dip out of, but they always know that that's actually there. And actually, James is a Galway lad himself. So,
oh really? You better get down here so fast, James.
Yeah, no, I'm proud tries of Marion. So, no, definitely. And Marion, if there's anything ever in terms of, especially with the Access for All stuff that now we can promote, and you know, I would love to have this in Pearse Stadium or in Terryland or in the sports ground as well. You know, and have them in even local games. So for those that, you know, we want this at your local GA club, you know, this should be grassroots as well and be accessible.
And have you been in touch with the Galway and City County Sports Partnership?
Yes, yeah. So yeah. We touch base with them as well. But you know, there's nothing more powerful, I don't think, Marion, than people who are visually impaired themselves advocating and to give their voice and to make them, you know,
Exactly, and to be interested in, now, as I said, the VI tennis I had just started, and I absolutely love the tandem cycling, but definitely you wouldn't get me now at a GAA game or a
But that's great that you're active and stuff, and it's great, and hopefully, you know, more and more things like that will be happening in Galway and around the country as well. It's really important to have that involvement and stuff, and I suppose the good thing as well is that, yeah, you know, Vision Sport and SVI have merged together now, and the future is bright for that organisation and where they're going
to
go.
Yes, it's brilliant.
You know, so that's a positive as well. And look, we hope to see further initiatives throughout nationwide, you know. And once we're through COVID, we'll be all...
Well, it's great to know there's somebody from the west of Ireland in there that you'll keep the flag flying for us.
Oh, he's invaluable. He's going nowhere.
The West is awake, isn't that it?
That's right. Yeah. Right, well, Marion, we've been in the news this week anyway, big time.
Indeed. Okay, thanks for your question, Marion. Very much appreciated.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a million. So, guys, I'm going to wrap this up and say thank you sincerely to Maggie and James. This has been, I have to say, and I'm not just saying it, it's one of the best sessions that we've had, actually.
Definitely.
In terms of just all the stuff that we've been able to do today and hearing all the great work that you guys are doing. Thank you so much for your time. And we do look forward to catching up with you. Hopefully you come back next year and tell us.
Thank you for having us. Great. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Maggie and James. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We're back next Wednesday at 2 p.m. with Google Goodness with Sharon Lyons. Thanks, of course, to Sharon for stepping into the breach for Carl Braley today and managing all our chat and raised hands. So many thanks, Sharon.
No problem.
From Stuart and everybody else at Sight and Sound, stay safe and stay well, and we'll be in touch with you all next week. Thanks a million.